The castle, most of the time, or maybe a high tower, was referred to as the keep. That's where you could go and be safe, in the keep. So, and we're told to keep our hearts, to keep it, watch over it with all diligence. For out of it proceed the issues of life. Scribes and the Pharisees, the polar opposite of the Lord Jesus Christ, the scribes and the Pharisees, not Satan. But the scribes and the Pharisees, polar opposites, standing there looking with critical hearts and critical minds, looking for something to be critical over, right? Making sure we toe the line, walk the straight and narrow, and anybody that doesn't, they're going to point it out. They're going to make a point of going out of their way to point it out. Now please pay attention to me. I'm trying to lay a little groundwork, and then we'll be done in about 2 hours. The disciples were hungry. Now, we had down at the camp a 5-second rule. It hits the floor, you got 5 seconds to pick it up and eat it. And I've done it. And we don't know where those feet have been that have walked on that floor. And I say that to kind of lighten the mood a little bit. I like what it does to the kids. I love tater tots. Amen? Especially ours at the camp. Little tater tots. Don't start a diet and put a plate full of tater tots in front of me. I will smack you and eat every one of them. But every now and then I'm sitting there. I usually don't eat supper because I'm getting ready for the evening service, but I'm sitting there watching hundreds of kids get their tater tots. And every now and then one of them will fall to the floor. Sometimes close enough for me to just reach over, pick it up, and put it in my mouth. And watch them go, "Ooh, that's disgusting." Well, that was the whole reason why I did it. Seriously, that's the whole reason why. I'm 70 years old. It hadn't killed me yet. I've got 1,000 diseases, but I'm 78 years old. Bible tells us to keep our hearts. The disciples went through the fields of corn and tore off the ears and began to eat. And there stood with a critical heart. Finding fault with men who were hungry enough to eat with unwashed hands. Their hands weren't washed. And they, in their righteous indignation, see, they washed their hands 6 times. They went through little 6 firkin pots, washing their hands until finally you get, listen, COVID's been good. I've washed my hands so many times in the last 2 years that I got to my 8th grade geography answers. There they are. But they saw them take those ears, eat them. And they stood there with their piety, their self-righteousness, and a heart that was not tender. That was not tender. And criticized them to Jesus. And he said, "Oh, you hypocrites. Don't you know, look at me, don't you know it's not what goes in the mouth that defiles the body, but what comes out of the heart. For out of the heart proceed adultery, fornication, and murder." It's what comes out of the heart. Keep your heart with all diligence. For out of it, and God loves a tender heart. Satan hates a tender heart. And you say, what does that have to do with Matthew chapter 18? He said, wherefore, whosoever therefore shall humble himself, look at verse 4, as a little child. We're going to talk about God hates, or Satan hates, a tender heart. And God loves a tender heart. And to illustrate the point, Brother Harry, he used children. He said, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child. I'm going to have fun here in a minute, and I don't mean to. I weighed this out, preacher. I weighed some of the things, because we're living in wicked days. We're living in perverse, wicked days. 50 years ago, we didn't think same-sex marriage was all right. Now us who think it's biblically wrong and morally repugnant are considered wrong. And I've said it once, I've said it 1,000 times since then. That's not the end. That's not the end. Someday, somebody's going to go to the courthouse and say, I want to marry my dog. Because perversion doesn't stop, it gets worse. Out of it proceeds adultery and wickedness. A heart that is swift to devise mischief. God said he hates it. A hard heart. God doesn't. And guess what? He takes that little child and he said, except you humble yourself as his little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. Whosoever. Let me say something. I'm trying my best to skirt the issue. I really am. They now want to legalize. This is not my message. They want to decriminalize and normalize an immoral relationship between a grown man and a child. Did you hear me? And some of you might think, well, the Bible doesn't say anything specific about it. It's so repugnant, it doesn't deserve to be said. However, you're wrong. For Jesus Christ said, whosoever offendeth one of these little children. In other words, you reach in and you squeeze that tender heart and make it hard. Scar it and make it hard and calloused. Whoso deceiveth, whoso offendeth this little child? He's talking about a tender heart. Can you think of anybody on this planet that has any more tender heart than a child? I know but I'm trying my best. You know what? I love my sons. But I hated watching them grow up. Because they were losing. The older they got, the more the devil, who hates that tender heart, did what he could to squeeze and damage and scar and destroy that tender heart that God loves but Satan hates. I've got grandbabies. I have 10 of them. But I'm afraid for them. I'm afraid for them. I have a 14-year-old grandson who turned 15 this summer. And I already see some of that twinkle in his eye going dim. That attitude of bitterness, that attitude of scar, sin, look at me, sin will always scar a tender heart. Sin will always damage a tender heart, you listen to me, that God loves. God loves a tender heart, but Satan hates a tender heart. So what does he do to this generation? You did me an honor tonight, sir. You did me an honor tonight. As these young children walked through that door, I kicked into a separate gear. When I saw these little children come in the door, my heart kicked into a different gear because God's given me a tender heart toward these children. And Jesus Christ said, woe unto that person who offends one of these little ones. It's better. You want to know what's good for a child, a pedophile? A millstone hang about his neck and cast into the depths of the sea. For what he does, he's taken the most tender, sympathetic, understanding, faithful little thing on the face of the earth and made it hard. And done something to that child that only the grace of God did it. That only the grace of God can tenderize the heart. But most of them live with scars that they'll never get over. And Jesus said, you scab up one of these hearts. You defame. You scab up. You harden up one of these tender hearts. It'd be better for you to have a millstone hung about your neck and cast into the depths of the sea. Cast into the depths of the sea. You got a heart. Keep it tender. Keep it tender. And I believe, Brother Lewis, one of the hardest things for us to do as men, grown adults, is to keep a tender heart. David said, my whole heart fainteth, and my whole soul thirsteth for thee. What are you trying to say, Brother Griffiths? I know exactly what the devil's done in you. I'm not looking. These kids, you know what bothers me? Some of these kids have not had much of a childhood. They've had to grow up into sin a whole lot quicker than they should have. And they've lost some of that tenderness. If I've said it once, I've said it a dozen times, we're raising a generation of children who have front row seats to wickedness. And they can't even trust their own folks because the devil hates a tender heart. But God loves a tender heart. And he said, except you be converted and become as one of these little children, a childlike faith, you shall no wise enter into the kingdom of God. God loves a tender heart. But you know what brought tears to my eyes, Father? I'd see the tender heart my children have. And I'm thankful that I have two grown men who still have a measure of a tender heart. And that's 70 years old. And I know it's hard for you to believe, but at 70 years old, I have the measure of a tender heart. I still have a heart that weeps when others weep and rejoices when others rejoice. Who's kindly, affectionate, and tender once in a while. That tender heart, thank God, thank God. I still get worked up. I still get excited. I'm still thrilled at the prospect of doing something for a generation of children that have front row seats to wickedness. And the devil's targeted them. You know, the bottomless pit is not going to be, as far as I'm concerned, judgment enough for the devil. For all the tenderness he's taken out of the hearts of God's people in the world. Did I say that diplomatically? Did I say what I said about that pedophilia diplomatically? You're just destroying a tender heart to satisfy a hard heart that deviseth mischief and deviseth wickedness. Look at me! The devil hates a tender heart! And that's the thing, Brother Steve! The devil does the most! He attacks the hearts of God's people to make them hard. How's your heart tonight? How's your heart tonight? Seriously, how's your heart tonight? How tender? I'm not going to say on a scale of 1 to 10 for myself. I'll say this while it's passing through my mind. My dad, mom, loved John Wayne movies. I bought them for myself because I like John Wayne movies too. You see, what does that got to do with the tender heart? You watch me. You listen to me. I'd buy them and watch them and send them over to my mom and dad and let them watch them. Because back then, that was the only TV we had. We had no TV reception down there in the holler. And my mother and father loved those old John Wayne movies of the 30s and the 40s. But the older John Wayne got, the less my mother and father liked those old or new John Wayne movies, because my dad said one time, he just has gotten mean. He had just gotten mean. That childish smile, that childlike glimmer, that childlike bearing all things, that childlike hopeth all things, that childlike endureth all things. Look at me! To take a child that would endure everything, endureth all things, and fix it to where it won't endure nothing, that's wickedness to a different level. To take a young child's heart and scar it up and do it damage to the place that it hopeth not all things, glory to God, he's in this. You've done that child a damage! Endureth all things. It's amazing how resilient children are. But you keep it up. You beat a dog long enough, it'll bite the hand that feeds it. You keep it chained up long enough, and it'll hate everybody that walks by. Hopeth all things. Endureth all things. Beareth all things. And believeth all things. That's a childlike heart. A childlike heart. The older we get, the harder we find it to believe. The older we get, the harder we find it to endure. The harder time we have to have hope in our hearts. Why? Because we become less childlike. Except ye be converted and become as one of these little children. God's given us a sacred trust, fellas. Let me say this. I'm not picking on you, and I'm not assuming anything. Please, you know that. You got precious darlings. Did you know that it's her responsibility to obey her parents? But, I know you know this. And like I said, I'm not assuming the worst. This is not a slap on the wrist, this is a pat on the back. As much as it is a responsibility for her to submit herself to you, you have a responsibility not to provoke her to wrath, lest she be discouraged. And where does that discouragement come from? It comes from a calloused heart. Because she can't believe all things. She can't hope all things. If I can't believe my daddy loves me, if I can't believe my daddy is on my side, if I can't believe my daddy, his own word, then who can I believe? You say, my, what a thought tonight. There are three things that I want you to know why God hates a hard heart. First of all, I want you to notice he hates a hard heart because it weakens our faith. You heard me right. Believeth all things. Endureth all things. Hopeth all things. You know what pleases God? Faith. And the devil knows that a wounded heart has weakened faith. A wounded heart has a weakened faith, and the devil knows that. Look at me. If it's impossible to please God without faith, of course the devil knows that. So what is his aim? To wound that heart. All you young people under the age of 19, stand up right now. Come on. Don't be bashful. Don't be shy. Stick a needle in your eye. I'll take that coffee back, you liar. You know I'm not picking up. I'm on your side. I'm on your side. I'd rather die than offend you. I'd rather go to a grave right now. You say you don't believe that, you go right ahead. But you know why you're cynical? Believe with all things. Your heart's been wounded so much you can't even believe somebody actually has an unfeigned faith. That actually cares for somebody. This narcissistic, self-seeking, self-centered world that we're living in, and all we're trying to do is satisfy ourselves and in the process wound a bunch of children. And we don't care who we hurt in order to get what we want. You know why? Because the devil hates a tender heart. Because he knows a tender heart is an easy believing heart. Except you be converted and become as one of these little children. Tell a little child why I was disappointed when I found out there wasn't a Santa Claus. I'm sorry to disappoint you. But I'm here to tell you, I'm not ashamed to tell you there's still a Jesus. And he loves you more than anybody in the world. He loves the world so much that he gave his only begotten son for you. And he knows the only way to get to you is by faith. And faith comes from a tender heart. A heart that is easy to believe. You can be seated. Somebody say, you believe in that easy believism? I was 8 years old when I got saved. I was won to Christ's brother by an 13-year-old girl. You talk about an inconspicuous beginning. I'm on shaky ground. But after 62 years, I still know in whom I have believed. And I'm glad God got me early. Listen to me. I've never met one person yet who genuinely got saved. Stand up at a church service and say, the worst day that ever happened to me is the day I got saved. But I've watched them with tender eyes and a broken heart. Stand up and say, I wish I had gotten saved earlier. And you and I know that the older we get, the harder it is to win them to Christ. Why? Their heart's not tender. Their heart's not sensitive. And the chances of getting saved after a certain age almost disappears. But thank God, are we having fun yet? Thank God we have a Savior who the disciples asked him, who then can be saved? A rich man would hardly go through the kingdom of heaven. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And they stood back in amazement and said, who then can be saved? And he looked at him and said, with man, that's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. You let him have a few rounds with your hard heart. He knows how to tenderize it. The hammer of his love. The hammer of his mercy. The hammer of his grace. The hammer of his word takes that old calloused heart and makes it soft. So that it will cry out and say, I believe. And that man or that woman had become just like a little child. With a childlike faith. With a childlike faith. Can I show you something else tonight? why God loves a tender heart, why the devil hates a tender heart. God hates a hard heart because it weakens our faith. Second of all, a hard heart wounds our compassion. I'm glad you got this table here. It'll make a good second pulpit. It wounds our compassion. I love the Bible. Who can be saved? Who can go into the kingdom of God? Bring me that little child. Bring me that little child and stood him in the midst. And said, except you be converted and become one of these little children. He goes through this litany of the next whole chapter. Goes into chapter 19. I like this. This is something I just chewed on today. I like it when I find new stuff. That's because the Bible's always new. It doesn't change. It's just always the same. And it takes a lot of digging sometime. But the reason why you gave up on the Bible is because you have a hard heart. Amen? That's good preaching right there. He takes a child, begins this whole chapter by illustrating the need of having a childlike faith. Being converted as one of these little children. We go into the next chapter. The scribes and Pharisees show up again. And said, Moses said that you could put away a woman for every cause. Jesus goes through this. And later on that day, in Matthew chapter 19, hold on to this, Christian. Hold on to this old saved person. I want to. Children begin to come in on him. Matthew chapter 19, you don't have to turn there. In verse 13, then there were brought unto him little children. How did chapter 18 begin? Jesus inviting a little child in. The crowd heard that Jesus loves the little children. So they bring the little children. The Bible says, there were brought unto him little children that he should put his hands on them and pray, and his disciples rebuked him. Rebuked them. Think of that. From chapter 18, chapter 19, their hearts got harder. And the words of Christ wasn't ringing in their ears like they should have been. And rebuked the parents. And rebuked, go away, he's a busy man. He's the Savior. He's the Lamb of God. Go away. You don't trouble the Master. That's exactly the trouble he was looking for. That's exactly what Christ was there for. And then he said, but Jesus said, suffer, little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. They had wandered around the wilderness for 3 days. This is where most of us are in 2022. The crowd, the multitude followed Jesus for 3 days. The Bible says Jesus had compassion. I like this. The Bible says Jesus had compassion on them, for they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And he said, disciples, give them to eat. The disciples came to Jesus and said, Lord, this is a desert place. They wandered with us for 3 days. Send them away. Send them away. But Jesus, his heart was the exact opposite. The disciples said, send them away, but his heart was said, bring them to me, and I'll feed them. Remember the Syrophoenician woman? She cried after the Lord, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me, for my daughter is grievously sore vexed with the devil. And the disciples in the next verse, the Bible tells us, Lord, send her away, for she crieth after us. You know where most of us are today? We're pushing the crowd away. We're pushing the needy away. Because we hopeth not all things. We believeth not all things. We endureth not all things. We push them away because we've allowed our hearts to get cold and calloused. And what does a hard heart do? It wounds our compassion. John, the beloved, said, "Whoso hath these world's goods, and seeth his neighbor have need, and shutteth up the bowels of his compassion, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" It's easy to have standards. It's difficult to have a tender heart. Standards are nothing more, in most cases, a shield against a hard heart. It's nothing more than a curtain to hide a heart that God's not pleased with. And I believe in those things. But when we start treating old sinners and fellow servants, we'll get into that in a minute. When we start treating old sinners like the scribes and Pharisees treated them, what's wrong with this Jesus? He eats supper with the sinners. He's a friend to sinners. And hallelujah, I'm glad he's a friend to sinners. And you know why he's a friend to sinners? He has a tender heart. He has a tender heart. Don't think because I'm spending so much time over here, this is a bigger crowd, and they like me more than you do. But how's your heart? I'm not being hateful. I don't know your heart. Did you know I can't see your heart? But God can. And you can't see mine. But you can see what I do. Where's your tears? Where's your compassion? Where's your zeal? Where's your drive? Where's your motivation? For out of it proceed the issues of life. How's your heart tonight? It wounds our compassion. A hard heart weakens our faith and wounds our compassion. But last of all, it wastes. It wastes our relationships. And then Jesus closes out this chapter by saying, "For as much as he had not to pay," verse 25, "his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had for a payment." I'm looking at the wrong place. No, we're there. "The servant fell down and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all.' The Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt." And six more times in the next few verses, it talks about fellow servants. That man who had just been released a debt of over $1 million found a friend that owed him only $100 and said, pay me my $100. And the Bible says that man who had just been forgiven a debt he never could pay grabbed his fellow servant by the throat. Can you imagine? Where did that come from, Jane? Where did that come from? To be that full of hate, to grab a fellow servant by the throat. That come from a hard heart. And said, pay me what you owe me. And he said the same things to his fellow servant that the servant had just said to his master, just be patient with me. Just be patient with me. You know why we're impatient? Hard hearts. Tribulation worketh patience. Tribulation takes a hard heart and makes it soft. Makes it easy for faith to flow and to believe. But he grabbed his fellow servant by the throat. And another fellow servant saw the whole thing and went and told the master of all those servants. Remember that guy you paid all that, you forgave all that debt? He's over there getting ready to throw one of his fellow servants into jail for $100 debt. And the Bible says, remember, God hates a hard heart. The master was wroth. Think about that. You want to get the Lord mad at you? Treat our fellow servants poorly. Treat them with a lack of compassion and pity, a lack of forgiveness, a lack of mercy. And the Lord of that servant, the Bible says, was wroth. Took that unprofitable servant, cast him into prison. God hates a hard heart. The devil hates a tender heart. I'm just going to ask you this one last thing, tell you a story. How's your heart tonight? I'm 29 years old, believe it or not. I used to be 29. Only for 1 year. 40-some-odd years ago, I was 29 one time. I was an associate pastor principal of a Christian school. I was the associate pastor of the church, song leader, chief cook, and bottle washer. Anything the preacher didn't want to do, I did. And that's fine. Had church problems. Y'all ever have church problems or bitch problems? Nah, I can tell by the way. I tell why he stroked his beard. He's satisfied with everything that's going on. And I like your beard. And it wouldn't matter if I did. Amen? But I like it. I'd grow one, but it'd make me look older than I am. But I'm 29. And I was raised in a pastor's home. And I was taught from my youth up, if you can't be a preacher's friend, you don't have the right to have friends. If you can't be loyal to the man of God, you don't have the right to have any loyalty shown towards you. Amen. Somebody say amen right there. Was there somebody here tonight that needed to hear that? Amen. And they had church problems. Tried to vote the pastor out, but they lost. The pastor got mad and tried to vote out the two deacons that brought the measure to the floor. I mean, us Baptists down in Kentucky, we have good church meetings. I mean, to tell you, I was looking for some blood tonight. The preacher brings the motion to the floor that Hall and Elliot, two men older than my daddy, at that time, they were older than my daddy. They were in their 60s. My dad was just in his 50s. Brought the motion to the floor. And he waited for a second. I didn't want to second it, but I, out of loyalty, raised my hand and said, I second the motion. And another young preacher boy raised his hand and I said, I third the motion. All in favor? No one else. We were the only two that voted against those two old deacons. They were deacons in that church before I was born. Preacher gets mad and resigns. Storms out. Sound like a good, hard-hearted Baptist church, amen? Sound like the devil was having fun taking a tender heart and making it hard. Amen. Tender hearts wouldn't have done that. That's good preaching right there. Tender hearts wouldn't have done that. Somebody pulled the plug out of my soul. I went down. For 2 weeks, Brother Harry, I couldn't pray. I was miserable. And every time I did go to pray, I remembered what Jesus Christ said. When you go to offer your gift and you remember that you have a brother that hath an ought against thee, he said, leave there thy gift. Go reconcile yourself to your brother and then go and offer the gift. But my pride, I didn't want to swallow my pride and tell those men I was sorry. Until one night about 9:30, I couldn't take it anymore. And I told my wife, I said, I'm going up to the church. I'm going to so-and-so's house and so-and-so's house. And I'm going to ask them to forgive me. So at about 9:30, you don't expect guests at 9:30 in the evening. But there stood a 29-year-old boy on the porch of Mr. Hall's house. And that elder gentleman, who was in his 70s easily, opened up the door, and him and his wife were both surprised to see me standing there. And I was crying. I was miserable. I was tired of feeling this way. He said, "What's the matter, George, Brother George?" I said, "Mr. Hall, I'm here to ask your forgiveness for voting against you. Will you forgive me?" And you know what that tender-hearted old man said? "Nothing to forgive, son." And his wife said, "Honey, you want to come in here and have a cup of coffee?" And I said, "No, I got to go over to Mr. Elliott's house and tell him the same thing." A few minutes later, I knocked on his house door. Mrs. Elliott opened the door that time. I said, "Is Mr. Paul in?" She said, "Yeah," and she called his name, stood there. I'm still crying. He comes up and said, "What's the matter, son?" I said, "Mr. Elliott, I'm here to tell you I'm sorry. I didn't mean, and I shouldn't have done what I did, and I'm sorry." You know what he did? You know what he did? He stepped out on the porch, put his arms around me, said, "There's nothing to forgive, son." Well, he forgave me. There was nothing to forgive. And I went back home that night with a new joy in my heart, a new spring in my step, and a new outlook on life, a tender outlook on life. My heart was tender again. And since then, you remember the words of this insignificant Baptist preacher, since then I've done my dead level best not to put myself in a situation like that again, to where I have to swallow my pride. I'd rather you beat me to the ground and suffer that kind of pain than for me to have to humble myself and tell you I was sorry. Did you understand that? That place that hard heart brought me was not a nice place for us to live. And God removed His joy. And God removed the joy of the Lord. And I grieved the Spirit and quenched the Spirit in my own life. And all the devil was doing was standing back and laughing and saying, "I'm making his heart hard." But God said, "No, I love a tender heart. And I'm not giving up on Butch. I'm going to do my best to keep that heart tender." They kept working in me and kept squeezing on me and kept working on me. Till finally I said, "I'm sorry." And Peter said, in the same passage of Scripture, remember the little children? How quick are little children to forgive us? Think about that. Pretty quick. Pretty quick. Beareth all things. Endureth all things. Hopeth all things. Believeth all things. And for anybody, out of the selfishness and the hardness of a heart, to rob that little child and to rob a fellow. The Bible says offenses may come. The offense is going to come. But woe unto him through whom the offense comes. Been better for a millstone hung about your neck and you cast into the depths of the seas than to offend. You're not a little one. But woe unto the person that would hurt your heart. And I'm not being hateful. You're a little one. Can you imagine? You'd want to kill him. You'd have to stand in line. Or at least when you got done, I'd take over and look at the crap. I'd think of a good Christian cuss word or two to use. Woe unto that. Your heart's going to be broken. Your heart's going to be broken. The offenses must come. But woe unto that person through whom the offense comes. God hates a tender heart so much that he will get wroth with those who waste their relationships with bitterness. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Can I ask you a question tonight? While your heart's tender towards the Lord, more so than it will be this time next year, if you let the devil have his way, Lord, don't let that be the case. Rescue these darlings before it's too late. Take up shield and buckler and come fight for the tender hearts of these young people and these moms and dads and adults here. I understand, Lord, the offense must come. But I don't want to have a hard heart that when you do go to judge and you do go to correct that person who offended and hurt and tried to scar up a heart, a tender heart, I want my heart to be so tender. I say, Lord, you don't have to do it on my account. You don't have to do it for me. Be merciful to him, Father. Hey, young person, tonight, how's your heart? How's your heart? Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you made him your Savior? If you haven't, please, as tenderheartedly as I can plead, please, don't go away without the Lord tonight. Hey, Christian, how's your heart tonight? Do you remember that you have a brother that hath an ought against thee, or a sister? And all you're doing is allowing that to become a root of bitterness and defiling your tender heart. It weakens our faith, wounds our compassion, and wastes our relationships. Brother Griffiths, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm really not sure if I were to die tonight where I'd spend eternity. Would you pray for me right now? Would you slip your hand up? Man, woman, boy, or girl, whomever you might be, just slip it up right where you are. I'm not sure I'm saved. Pray for me right now. Just slip it up, please. While your heart's tender, while it's pliable, I'm not sure I'm saved, Brother Griffiths. Pray for me. Hey, Christian friend, how's your heart tonight? You have been offended. You have been hurt. But they offended and hurt the most tender-hearted person that ever walked on the face of the earth. And he still said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. How's your heart tonight? How's your heart tonight? The offenses have come, I guarantee you. As old as we are, we can't look back on our life and say, I've never been hurt. Can't say it. We've been hurt a multitude of times. How's your heart? How's your heart? Hey, Christian young person. Hey, dear lost young person. Mom and dad. Trust in Jesus, as the song says, and he will keep you sweet. Lord, please, reclaim the backslidden, encourage the discouraged, lift up the fallen, and save the lost. May they be saved before it's everlastingly too late. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's all stand, their heads bowed, our eyes closed. My wife's going to sing us a song.